drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
To the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Tyler Rocky and Mike Gilligan, who is out at Ziegfeld Troy up in Woodridge today as the Better Through Birdies Challenge is underway. As Mike and I already completed our portion of the challenge. We did it on Wednesday, but go on out there. You can support the event, and as always, you can support all of the different teams at betterthroughbirdies.org. Make your donations there. But good morning, Mike, and how's the scene out in Woodridge this morning?
Well, good morning, Tyler, and good morning, Chicago. We have ourselves a Chamber of Commerce day here out in Woodridge. I have perhaps one of the best seats in the house. We are situated right at the first tee where everybody is passing through all the holes that they're playing, but the first time they stop by here, their first attempt on this hole from 130 yards is for $100,000.
All right.
And then the person who makes the most birdies and the two teams that raise the most money and their two-man teams, those six players, hopefully just before we go off the air, will be making an attempt for $1 million, which is a 50-50 split because the kind people at Republic Bank have insured us for all these opportunities where if somebody makes a hole-in-one, whether it's $100,000 or $1 million, half goes to the CDGA Foundation. The other half goes into the pocket of said golfer who made the ace. And in my case, should it happen, I will be sharing all of the money with all of the people that donated to the CDGA Golf Show team, where we made 19 birdies.
Yeah, we had a nice little run there. I think if we had a couple of those lipped out putts go in, we probably would have been running it up more towards like 24, 25. A little closer to where we were last year.
Well, just goes to show you, it's a funny game. Some days you have it, and some days it just doesn't fall. And we experienced a little bit of that, especially about midway through the round. But all in all, it's always fun to be with you and just playing golf for a great cause and watching the fun and the smiles. We've got kids. We've got high school players. And, in fact, we have two legends coming up to the first tee right now in Matt McAtee and Dave Esler. Dave Esler, a great golf course designer in own right, and Matt McAtee, senior vice president of Troon Golf. They are about to make their attempt for $100,000 as I'm literally speaking to you. So, you know, so he's going to set up here, and I'll let you know how he does. But we are blessed with a lot of giving CDGA members here today. Right now, our tally is $67,000. I think we're approaching $68,000. And here's the cool part about this. We took a photo, if you remember, Tyler, and it showed our 19 birdies and the total check. I think it was like $4,275. Well, it's not that amount anymore because what I did is I sent the picture out that you sent, and we had people who donated again. Yeah. So you can still donate. And, in fact, we've actually had people donate all the way towards as late as November in some cases. So even though we have a final number today, that number will grow into next week for sure as people realize, oh, I meant to give, but I just didn't get around to it. But now that I see the picture, I want to still give. And it goes to our veteran and first responders and the programs and camps we have for them, as well as individuals with disabilities and our youth, because that's where the game grows and we want to pay attention to our youth and continue to foster the love and growth of the game.
Absolutely. So you can go to betterthroughbirdies.org, find the par 3 challenge. CDGA Golf Show team is our team if you want to support us. We made 19. We'll see what the pace is like out there at Ziegfeld Troy out in Woodridge. You can go out, watch the event there. Lots to get to today. We are a week out from the PGA Championship. We'll be joined by Andy North at 9:35 from ESPN and a two-time U.S. Open champion. to break down the field there. Also, we will give you our fantasy golf picks as well for the week. I did see something in the fantasy sphere that I want to bring your way as well, Mike, because it's kind of mind-blowing as we are closer and closer to the PGA Championship. But we did also spend the week together out at French Lick Resort. It was an awesome time. We finally got the dry day on Tuesday after being washed out for the most part on Sunday and Monday, but boy, did we make the most of it. And you, my friend, are a master negotiator with how you pulled off our day up for Tuesday. So you just want to lay it out for everyone how you maneuvered what we had for Tuesday, which was a beautiful day out there.
Well, let me set up the week first. We traveled, if you remember, I picked you up at 5:15 at your apartment. Mm-hmm. And so that made me get up at 4. So the day started bright and early. We connected, flew down I-65 and made it to French Lick. But I think we had the wipers on most of the time.
Yeah.
And
now
know I need new wipers. But with that being said, we got there and we teed off in the rain and we played in the rain. And we finished in the rain 9 holes. Mm-hmm. And so we had hopes the next day we're going to the Big Peak Dye course. I think they said it was $450 per player. So we wanted to have the best experience, and when we wake up, it's dark and it's raining. And we decide to wait. I think we postponed our tee time another hour, hour and a half, mm-hmm. just to see if we could find a better window, and we couldn't. And so we made our way down to the first tee, and we played 4 holes. And at that point, we were sopping wet through Wayne gear and everything to our underwear. And so that's when Dan Shanahan from our friends at Jersey Mike said, let's just go in and sort of wait this thing out a bit. And that's where you guys were drying out, and I decided to go recon and went into the golf shop. And what I basically explained is this. I've got a guy who flew down in a private jet who's played 13 holes, and I have my co-host who's only seen 4 holes of the famous Peak Dye course, and we need to chat about this on Saturday. So would it be possible, even though you have a full tee sheet tomorrow, that you put us out first? And he looked at me, and I said, your buddy, Brendan Sweeney, would approve of this. And he looked at me, and he goes, you know Brendan? And I said, do I know him? He's a good friend of the CDGA. He said, that's what we're going to do. So thank you to Brendan Sweeney, and really thank you to the staff at French Lick for understanding why we were there. We had our media folks doing a lot of special filming for CDGA TV and our YouTube channel, but those people know how to run a resort. They know how to show Southern Indiana hospitality, and they couldn't have been more gracious, because what we ended up doing, even after an hour, 40-minute fog delay, we got out. We made it over to the Donald Ross course. The rest of the CDGA groups had just passed through the 9th hole. There was one group behind them, and then the next group was over on the 8th green. So we slid right in on 10-tee, and we played the back 9 that we didn't get to see on Sunday, and we did it in a pair of shorts and a short-sleeve shirt, and we were dry.
Yep, it was one of the most 180 days of all time. I mean, we start in a fog delay where we're pretty much sitting in a cloud. Just to paint the picture for everyone who hasn't been to the Peak Dye course at French Lick, like, you're up in the mountains, kind of up, like, for whatever Indiana mountains are. But you're up there, like, you are sitting among the clouds, and then all of a sudden you see that fog just lift, and the sun finally peeked its head through, and we had, like, basically once we got to the back 9 of the Peak Dye course, we could have been playing in shorts at that point. And it was
100%
to see the sun out after, I'm not joking, I think it was at least 36 straight hours of rain. I don't think it stopped.
They had some major flooding.
I mean, when we were driving around town, like, it was just, you saw lakes that did not exist before. They were on the precipice of opening up their new par 3 course, and it was just completely underwater with all the rain that they got. And it felt like the entire town was underwater. But that's kind of the beauty of where the dye course is settled, because you're all the way up top, and you can kind of just let that water drain down the hill. And it was for all intents and purposes and all the rain that they got, it was about as good of course conditions as you could have asked for us on Tuesday.
Yeah, I don't know if there's another course in America where we could have played and played literally with no standing water anywhere, because Pete Dye is a master at how to drain golf courses. He learned it when I worked with him at Kiowa down in 1990 and 91 when he designed the Ocean Course, and to this day it's one of the most, you know, environmentally friendly layouts, as well as the attention to the water, the drainage and where the water goes and how it gets recycled. And as such, at French Lick, we were basically up playing on top of various hills that are on mountains. So it's like the whole golf course is on an elevated stage as you go through and wind through all of the country up there. And I loved when we pulled into the clubhouse, you go, I think my ears just popped.
Yeah.
So
just from going
and I
up
go,
the hill, yeah.
Yeah, I said, I don't know how many people can say their ears popped in the state of Indiana, but it did for us. And it really is truly a really photogenic. It just shows well. And for those who saw the influencers outing that they had this past year, you can now go out and play the same course that they did, as well as the fact that the Corn Ferry plays their tour championship there for the next 5 years. So it is a big boys golf course, and we didn't even play it anywhere close to the back, but you got to see a lot of those back tees.
Yeah, the spots where the Corn Ferry players were going off of, like, we also had a tremendous caddy, one of the best four caddies that you will find. Bobby was our guy
anywhere
that day. I mean, he was tremendous. And he was showing us all these different spots and pockets on the golf course. And it just elevated the time that we had out there. I mean, it was already a hell of a time that we were having on that Tuesday. But the caddy experience as well was just a step above, on top of it.
100%. And, you know, there are some courses where a caddy is like, eh. But whenever you go to iconic golf courses like the Pinehursts, you know, the Pete Dye courses, the Sand Valleys, the caddy makes the experience. And although it may cost you a few bucks, the experience is so good, because if you get a good one, he's not only going to be part of the experience and the entertainment, but he's also going to be strategic and help you prop. I bet Bobby helped us with 5 or 6 shots that if he wasn't there, that could have gone terribly
wrong. How
about
the putts, too?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean,
can
there
the guy
were things
read greens?
That we were like, all right, this is uphill. And he's like, no, actually, it's downhill. Oh, this is going to break right. Oh, actually, it's going to break left. And he was dead on accurate every single time.
I know. And that is the wildest thing about Pete. He creates optical illusions. And so if you don't have a caddy like Bobby, and there was one time I said, I know I got him wrong this time. And sure enough, he was correct. And I never doubted him from the rest of the way in.
Yep. No doubt about that. All right. When we come back, we'll start to break down a little bit of what's taking place out at the Truist at the moment. As we are 1 week out in preparation for the PGA Championship. And we'll also talk to Andy North coming up at 9:35. All that and more coming up next. This segment brought to you by French Lick Resort.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Golf is on your mind and on the air right now. This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
And Mike Gilligan with you on the CDGA Golf Show. We talk golf with you every single Saturday. Before we get to the Truist, Mike, John's in Palatine. He wants to join the show with a little bit of a tip. Morning, John.
Hey, John. Morning, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Good.
As a soccer official and a fellow golfer, we play soccer in all weather except thunder and lightning. And what I've found from having gear that I use for both sports is that Camp Dry, don't know if you're familiar with that. It's a silicone spray, but you spray that on whatever is supposed to be rainproof, and it will actually make it rainproof. Because all of my rain gear without it still soaks through in probably what happened to you guys, an hour, half an hour, hour.
So this is just like a spray that you put down on your clothes?
It's a silicone spray, and that locks the fibers so that the water does not come through it.
Interesting.
Wow. That's because John brings up a good point. Because
thanks for the call, John.
You used the best European rain suit money can buy. Uh-huh. You had a ProQuip.
Yeah.
And I had a FootJoy, which the players use on tour. They both got soaked through, so... Where can you get this silicone? Is John still with us?
I just looked it up. So you can find it at like any hardware store. You can get it on Amazon too.
That's a great tip.
Yeah. Ace Hardware has it for less than $10.
There you go. I'll tell you what, that'll extend that rain suit. And that's what I was most disappointed with, because had that stayed completely dry, I could have done it with the rain gloves. I think we could have done it. But, over time just wins out. When it was just so steady.
Yeah. I mean, it was 36 hours of straight rain.
Oh, yeah, it was.
So, all right, the Truist is underway out at the Philadelphia Cricket Club. And your leader right now, it is a stacked leaderboard, but the man who is ahead of the pack right now may be the greatest unknown of them all, Keith Mitchell, 12 under. Fired a 61 Thursday. Keith Mitchell's had his moments on the tour, and when he has his irons going, he is as steady as they come on the PGA Tour. However, it's just how often can he dial that in? But he is your leader right now at 12 under, one off the pace right now, Shane Lowry. Sepp Straka continues his fantastic season. He's 10 under right now in possession of third. And then you've got a bunch of studs at 7 under right now. This is an elevated event, by the way.
Listen to this list.
Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, Colin Morikawa, Akshay Bhatia, Siwoo Kim, and Patrick Cantlay. That's a list right there. That is, you could very well see this entire crop of players in the top 10 as we make the turn into moving day at the PGA Championship next week.
100%. This is making for the, or it's actually creating what will be a fantastic championship next week. I love how Bryson won on the LIV Tour after giving it away in Mexico. So his game is in top tier shape. You're going to be bringing everybody in with their best foot forward. John Rahm should be mentally in a good spot, and his game's playing well. You got JT back. And even a guy like Max Homa's looking good.
Yeah.
So
Max
this
has
is
looked
gonna...
good since he made the change on the bag.
100%. 100%. And it's interesting, Keith Mitchell, you talk about the unknown. What he is known for, though, he is the best Thursday player on tour. He's 58 under par for all of his Thursday rounds this season. He has a six-shot lead. The problem is the weekend, and he has not won this year, and his last win was 2019 at Honda. So, there'll be a lot of things going on in those 6 inches between his ears, that I'm sure, as this day unfolds.
And look at the Wolves chasing him right now, too.
And I'm sure that's in his brain, too.
Good luck holding off that crop right there. I mean, that's no easy task when you've got Shane Lowry on your tail, Sepp Straka on your tail, and then, here's Justin Thomas. Here's Rory, fresh off of a Masters. Here's Colin Morikawa, a guy who's won majors. Here's Patrick Cantlay, who may be the best player without one. Like, all these guys. I mean, even, like, the group that's tied for 10th right now. By the way, shout out to Gary Woodland, who has made his comeback from the brain tumors. That was one of the best episodes of Full Swing as well. But he's tied for 10th right now at 6 under. Ricky, you mentioned his name a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. He's right in the thick of things as well. If Ricky really gets going, he came out firing with a 63 on Thursday. But we'll see how he finishes out the weekend. But, yeah, it's what you get in these elevated events. You don't get any slouches. It is interesting. No Scottie Scheffler this week because, I mean, we were watching him last week.
Well, they had. I think they banned him. He's too good. because what was it? Scotty won the A flight.
And Eric Van Rooyen won the B flight.
He won the B flight.
Yep.
I mean, what a bully beatdown he put down last weekend. But, again, you can just show that they're, even at the highest of levels, there's still a difference between the top tier and the rest of the tour.
Yeah. It's significant, too. I mean, Scotty ran away with that thing on, I mean, Saturday. It was like, when we were doing the show, it's like, this is over. We knew it was over. It was just going to be, by how much was it over? And he went out, nearly set a record. I mean, even like Erik van Rooyen was a stroke off of having, I believe, the course record at the time.
Yeah.
And Scotty just annihilated the course record for a tournament at the course. So he,
well, and if you remember, we were so wet at the turn on Sunday. We were like, let's just get in and watch Scotty. Let's see what he does.
Yeah.
And then we were watching van Rooyen, and he had the course record. I think he had like a 36-inch putt for the course record on 18.
With one of the cruelest horseshoes that you'll see, too.
Oh, it
that
was
came
so
about
cruel. But, yeah, and, you know, getting back to a guy like Keith Mitchell, trying to hold on to this lead today, he's got to deal with a guy named Rory McIlroy, who we're going to see for the first time, what I call, have the ability to just go out and freewheel it. I mean, he has got the weight of the world has been lifted off that young man's shoulders, and it's going to be interesting to see if his game becomes elevated or he just becomes comfortable. But I have a sneaking suspicion Rory's going to want to put the pedal down while he is in this groove and go. And I'll be interested to see if he can just sort of come back and win this, just being, you know, calm, cool, collected, and not just because there's a new version of him now.
Yeah, this is his first solo event since he won the Masters. He did participate in the Zurich, but he did not go in the first tournament, which was an elevated event right after the Masters. But this is his first time back out, and everything's looked pretty good so far. 66, 67, same thing that we've seen out of Justin Thomas. His playing partner at the Zurich, though, Shane Lowry, 64, 65. And I know that there was a day of ball in hand, and they did deal with some weather, but still, the way that Shane Lowry has come out of this after a solid showing at the Masters, and Lowry's just one of those guys who remains steady, and especially in tournaments where you know you're getting weather, that's when Shane Lowry seems to be like the guy that really thrives.
And not only that, he's becoming what I call almost a big game hunter type. He seems to flourish when the purses are big, the majors are in. So whether it's a, you know, an elevated event or a major, Shane Lowry always finds himself up on the leaderboard. And so it'll be interesting seeing him playing as well as he is. Can he get it done to add to his list of majors, you know, with the British Open being his first? And, you know, he's a guy that would love to be the two-time major winner, and then he's got half the Grand Slam lit.
Yeah.
But
he's getting there, and he's starting to put up a lot of results, especially as of late. And now it's just kind of breaking through and starting to win some of these tournaments. He's had his top tens. He's had some of these top fives. But now it's that next frontier for him, trying to eventually be lifting some more trophies for Shane Lowry, who's always one of the fascinating guys. I am very intrigued by a couple of guys heading into this PGA Championship that are on this leaderboard right now. Justin Thomas being one of them, Max Homa being another one of them. And then also, as always, it feels like we kind of have this conversation at this time of year, Ricky Fowler sitting there tied for 10th right now. Those are three of the guys that I'm really focused in on. And then, of course, how could you forget Jordan Spieth, because of what this could mean, this upcoming weekend could mean for him, and the fact that he has a chance now on the heels of Rory just doing it, but now Spieth has a chance to complete the career Grand Slam.
Well, I know, and it will be interesting. Can Jordan get it done in short, quick fashion? And wouldn't it be amazing if we were to have two people complete the career Grand Slam within a month of each other?
Yeah.
When we had to wait, you know, decades for this last one. And, and you know, to that point, it's, you know, there's, you know, a bunch of the Should I say the take it away, Tyler?
Yeah, just the career grand slams. Yeah, like the No, you're all good. There's a lot of golf shots being hit out by you right now.
The guy just walked up to me, and I'm sorry.
No, all good, all good. When we come back, we will talk with Andy North, two-time U.S. Open champion, golf analyst for ESPN. He'll join us next, get you more of a preview on the PGA Championship. All that and more coming up next. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
Segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. As we are less than a week from the start of the PGA Championship down at Quail Hollow, let's head on out now to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above, and it's two-time U.S. Open champion, friend of the show, and ESPN golf analyst Andy North joining us this morning. Good morning, Andy. Thanks so much for taking some time with us today.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
We are
doing
fantastic.
Well, Andy. Hey, Andy, real quick, I had Tim Troy. Do you remember Tim Troy?
Yes.
So Tim was here. We're over at Ziegfeld Troy's. I am. We're doing the fundraising event today for Better Through Birdies. But this morning he walked up and he said, you know, I won the CDGA Junior Match Play either in 69 or 70. And I said, well, that's interesting. We're going to be interviewing the winner of the 67 Junior Match Play in just a couple of hours. And he goes,
it's
who's
that?
And
I said, we can remember that far back.
I know. And he said, Andy won. And he said, the next year, he said, Andy was the low qualifier. But then he said, ask Andy how he did in his first round match.
You know what? I don't even remember.
He said you lost. He said it was the biggest upset because you were the number one seed and the 16 beat you. And he said, now he's an accountant somewhere here in Chicago, but he's got a great story.
There you go. I think that was down, way south in town. We played a Western Open there, I think, a million years ago. And it doesn't matter. Good God, it doesn't matter.
Oh, but that's great. No, but he Tim Troy says to say hello, and we're glad to have
that's
you
cool.
on here. So a question for you.
How many birdies are you going to make this afternoon?
Well, we did ours already. Tyler and I did it on Wednesday. We did it out at the Sunshine Course. And Tyler, tell Andy what we did.
We logged 19 this year, Andy.
That's good.
It was solid showing from us this year. Although we probably lipped out of another, seven, and Mike hit a stick once, too.
Yep.
I've heard that story before. It either goes in or it doesn't.
Yeah. It's a binary
sport. We thought we had one, but the ball mark was, right next to the lip.
Yep.
Uh-huh. There you go. Well, that's cool. Congrats. That's a neat deal. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're currently at about almost 68,000, and we're hopefully going to get closer to that 100,000 goal here all day and post-event after these all get posted. So every dollar counts, and we're hoping
fantastic.
To do a lot of good things for our veterans and individuals with disability with the event today.
You guys should have thought about doing it this afternoon when it was a nice day.
It's beautiful here.
Yeah, you might have gotten another six or seven.
Right, exactly.
You're right about that for sure. So, Andy, you're a two-time major champion, and we are coming up to the PGA Championship here in short order. The focus is going to be on two gentlemen, Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth, in our opinion. And the last time we spoke to you, it was all about what would this mean for Rory, you know, if he were to win the Masters. Well, now he's done it since the last time we chatted. So how do you think we're going to see Rory perform going forward? And his comments about how difficult it was going to be for Jordan, do you agree with what he said? And do you think Jordan can close this deal quickly, or is he going to be?
Well, I think let's address Rory first. He got a huge monkey off his back. You know, basically, what does he have to prove going forward? He's done everything you can do in professional golf, basically. Now it's just freewheeling it, having some fun, and probably win a couple more majors. He's playing well this week, and he's going to a golf course next week. He's won on four times. So, you know, he's obviously the favorite. You look at Jordan Spieth, he's not playing anywhere near as consistently as Rory has been. You know, when Rory was going into the Masters, Rory went in there as basically the favorite with Scottie Scheffler. You know, it's a golf course that it's a big, it's just a good, solid, big golf course. And Jordan hits it plenty far. His putting looks like it's been better the last couple of weeks. He's starting to make some of those 20-footers again, like we saw him make literally every one back in 14, 15. But it's tough. You know, you put so much pressure on yourself to do well. It takes a lot of luck. It takes a lot of good breaks. It's hard to win. And, you know, Tiger ruined a couple generations of players thinking that you're not any good unless you win multiple times a year or four times or six times. It's hard to win out there. So, you know, it's a uphill battle for Jordan to get the Grand Slam this week. But, you know, he definitely has the capability of doing it. I think a guy that you got to watch out for is Scottie Scheffler, too. You know, I mean, he's starting to really play well, too, again. Looked like he hit the ball a week ago more like he did last year. If that's the case, watch out.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Andy North, our guest here on the CDGA Golf Show. Getting back to Jordan Spieth, he hasn't won a major in 8 years after he came out guns a-blazing in 2015, and he got the one in 2017 as well. When you look back at the last seven or so years of his play, and it's not like he hasn't had top tens, he's had plenty of those along the way, but how much of this would you say is injury versus maybe being in his own head or maybe some other off-the-course factors?
Well, I think everything that goes on in your life has some impact. I think the toughest thing for Jordan, and, you know, he is really a great player. He'll be a Hall of Famer, you know, the whole deal. But think about having maybe the greatest year of your business career when you're 22 years old. What does that do for you looking at what you're capable of doing, what pressure you put on yourself to reach that level? You know, that was a year that I don't know if he'll ever have another year like that. I'm not so sure there'll be many players that ever have a year like that. I mean, he really had a chance to win all four major championships and was just ridiculously good. But think about, you know, trying to create a standard that you play up to the rest of your career. It's impossible. So, you know, is he the Jordan Spieth we've seen the last 6 or 7 years, 8 years? You know, maybe. I don't know. You know, he's like everybody else who plays this game at that level. You go through struggles. There are times your swing doesn't feel any good. There's times you don't think you're ever going to make a putt again. And then it happens. So, you know, you just have to, you know, go through the process and keep grinding away. And the biggest thing for Jordan, he just got to put himself in position late Sunday afternoon on the last nine holes of the championship to have a chance to win. You know, that's all you're hoping for.
So, Andy, if, you know, we talk often about the Jordans and the stellar and elite players, who's somebody that we should keep our eye on that we're not talking about?
Well, I actually had to do an ESPN.com pick for next week. And this is not a dark horse. This is not somebody out of the blue. But I picked Shane Lowry. Shane's playing well this week. He's been playing really well over the last 12 months or so. He's really a good ball striker. He can really drive his golf ball, and he's a really good iron player. And I just think that, you know, this is the kind of golf course that he's long, he's strong, he can do all the things you need to do. He's the guy that if you're not picking Rory or Scottie, which if you're not picking those two, you're crazy. But if you threw those guys out, I like Shane Lowry.
talking with Andy North here on the CDGA Golf Show. One guy who is playing well this week and has played well the last couple of times that we've seen him is Max Homa, someone who it felt like the sky was falling from his from a career perspective. But he, ever since he made a change at caddy, he has certainly turned things around. What have you made of the last couple of outings for Max Homa?
Well, he really struggled for probably close to a year. And he had a good Masters, and he's played some really solid golf after that. So I think that, you know, he's back to being Max, hopefully, who is a guy who was, you know, such a solid player. He does everything well. But it's, you know, it's like every one of us who play this game, you're going to go through stretches where you don't play very well, and how you handle that and how you dig your way back out of that's what's really important. And he seems to have done that. I don't think changing the caddies has anything to do with it. I think he's just, you know, you start working on stuff. And Max told me early in the year that, you know, he's been working on so many things that you get on the golf course, you don't play golf. You know, you're so concerned with what kind of swing you're making and what you're working on that day and or whatever, instead of trying to shoot a score. And, you know, it's easy to get into technique instead of, you know, playing golf.
So, Andy, the PGA Championship traditionally has the strongest field in the game, and no doubt this year we have an absolute loaded field for next week. And based on what you know of the course, we don't get a chance to talk about these live players much. Who do you think the top performer will be? Bryson, Joaquin, or somebody else based on what you're seeing on the golf course?
I think those two names you threw out are the two guys. I mean, Joaquin just won. Bryson just won. Joaquin has been the best player out there. Really disappointed that he went that route because, you know, I think on our tour he'd be a star and probably have already won a major championship. He is really a special player. But, you know, you do what you think is right. But he's playing some great golf. Bryson, I think Quail Hollow is just an absolute perfect golf course for him. You can blast it. He's really been playing super. You know, he is able to get his game in the top spot when he's at major championships. And he's a major champion winner. He understands how to play those events, and I think he's going to be tough to beat.
Andy North with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. Andy, appreciate the time, and you can find him on ESPN throughout all the coverage. So appreciate you taking some time with us, and we will talk to you sometime down the road.
Well, thanks, and we're on literally all day. I think we come on air at 7 o'clock in the morning. We go until the last putt's held every single day. So if you've got nothing to do or you're just sitting around, we can show you a lot of good golf. So,
well, that's good because more golf shots is better, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. You got that right.
Andy North with us, two-time.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, thanks for joining us,
Andy.
Appreciate it.
You have a good one. Andy North, two-time U.S. Open champion. You can find him throughout all of the coverage of the PGA Championship with ESPN as well. This segment has been brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. When we come back, there was rumors of some more golf coming to the Chicago area. Or is it coming to the Chicago area? We'll discuss that and more when we return. This is the CDGA Golf Show.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. And Mike, I saw this yesterday. This was from Josh Carpenter from the Sports Business Journal, does a lot of their golf coverage there. There were some trademarks that were filed by the TGL and for two team names, one of which is the Chicago Lynx Golf Club, as well as the Texas Golf Club, but there could be a Chicago team coming to the TGL by the time they ramp things up the next season. For those unfamiliar with TGL, that is the indoor golf league on the simulator that happened last year, or started up back in this past January. But the weird thing is even though there are cities attached to all of these different TGL teams, they're all kind of randomly distributed, and they're all like, they're not playing events at these different towns and cities. No, everything's kind of home based down in Florida. It's tough for me to get overly passionate about it, but I feel like if they started to take this thing on the road, it's something that I would definitely want to go and experience once.
No doubt. I think TGL, I put it the same category as the NHL. Great, fun to watch on TV, but amazing to be there. And I think that is one of those events that being there is far better than watching it on TV. And there's not many events you can say that about, but I think the TGL would be one of them. And I agree with you. I think we got to have other cities put up these stadiums, and then they could create other leagues for the everyday player, for the top amateurs. I mean, it should be a business potentially, and it's a, you know, it's a stadium for certain events. It operates much like a regular golf course would. You know, they host events, and otherwise it's pretty much for the public to enjoy.
Yeah.
I think they need to do that. And then I also think they got to do a better job with the merchandising, and it all starts with what the players are wearing. And it's just bizarre to me that these teams played with no team uniforms. They played with team colors, but they didn't even have a logo, even though their team has a logo. But they didn't even wear it on a hat or a shirt, and I get it. They have all their contracts, but surely you could find a space for one little 2-inch by 2-inch logo.
Right. It's funny. You bring up the merchandise there. I was at a PGA Superstore the other day, probably like a week ago, and I saw all the shirts that they had and hats for the TGL. Let's just say it didn't look like they were flying off the shelves.
No. Yeah, the display, unfortunately, looks like a buffet that you went through and there's like three scoops of potato salad left in the bowl. I mean, it's just not much there. And it's one of those situations, they're kind of in it. They're not really vested in it, and they're not committed to it. Until they get that commitment, then that's another piece of the business that I think could potentially have some, you know, some real merit to it, because some of those logos are pretty cool, and I think they gave a lot more thought and design into why we're going to play, the logos,
yeah.
You know. So it's just the logos, the team colors. I just think it would all go hand in hand and help, you know, build the game among the youth.
Well, if they did it kind of like how Liv is doing, I mean that. That's what Liv is shoving down your throat, it feels like, is the logos, the team, the camaraderie, all of that. Like, that's what they're, from a marketing perspective, it feels like that's part of their big business model. And it feels like it's together, but not really, with the TGL, if that makes sense. Like, you're a team, but you'd never really know that these guys are a team if you were just watching an event for the first time.
Right, and when you do watch for the first time, there's a strong likelihood that you're watching a team that had to pick up a player for a one-day contract because a corporate gig got in the way and this, that, and the other. So I think it's just going to need more time, but it needs more venues so that we truly can connect with it. Unless, to your point, you're in Florida, you really don't have, you know, much of a chance to see it in person and really get to rally around your team. Because, like, here in Chicago, the Cub players, the Blackhawk players, the Bear players are mainly not from our community.
No.
But we rally around them because they're in our community. And, you know, and I'm glad the TGL is waking up, because the PGA Tour needs to wake up, because Chicago is too good and too big a market not to be considered for, whether it's a team golf and the TGL, but a regular tour event year after year. And as I think about Philadelphia this week and the Truist, they're another big city packed with great golf courses.
Yeah.
and they don't have a regular tour stop, and they're only getting this because of the PGA being at Quail Hollow.
Right.
Then you start looking at Boston, New York, Denver, Miami, Chicago. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And I just think the PGA Tour, in this whole initiative of fan experience and whatnot, needs to, I think, focus a little bit more on some of these bigger markets. And I just think not being in Chicago on a regular basis is a big miss. But I'm glad to see the TGL expand, and I think Chicago would be a great venue to have the second TGL stadium in history.
312-332-3776 if you want to join us here on the CDGA Golf Show. When we come back, we will preview more of the PGA Championship. Will it be one of the big names? Will we get a career Grand Slam? All that and more coming up next. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.